The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning, Bahamas. In fact, good yawning this morning. It is another good morning because I walked out to my yard and there was a mango waiting for me. A cool mango holding on to the coolness of the morning, right? Which let me know the summer ain't quite here yet. So if you're waking up at 9:30, that's what your problem is. It's hot at 9:30. You can wake up at 6:30 when it's still cool and you could appreciate the day. Trust me, because it's going to be a hot one. I'm very excited today. I got a guest in studio, Mr. Phil Davis Jr. But before I start the show, I got a lot of news. Little housekeeping, sort of. First of all, and so on a side note, that I want to say condolences to the Nichols family on the passing of Donna Nichols. If you don't know who Donna Nichols is, because her spirit will always be with us. She is a Bahamian given to us from the heart of Jamaica, who came and set up her life here and committed herself to social justice work in this country. She's a woman's rights champion. She's a stalwart at the crisis center and ensured that the crisis center kept running until she didn't have the strength to contribute energy to it. Donna Nichols opened her house, her home, her community, and her heart to all of the people, all of the young people in her children's life, ensuring that they had a safe space to be who they were, to explore their Africanness and their Bahamianness in a safe space. This is a woman who would feed you. And you could see her spirit growing continually in the hearts and the eyes and the minds of her children and all the people she fed. And from one woman's rights advocate to another, it was an honor to be on this planet at the same time that you, Donna Nichols, is on this planet. Blessings and condolences to the family. On another note, because with life comes death, and with death comes life, I want to celebrate the birthdays, the earth days, of some people close to me and not so close to me in various ways. First of all, if you see a woman named Tina Johnson on the road today, tell her happy birthday. If you got a mango, gear your mango. If you see her standing outside the mango tree, she begging, and she's telling the universe, I am here, and you could drop the mango for me right now. That's her. Also, if you know a brother named Jay Coleman, today is his birthday as well. And I want to say happy belated birthday to a woman by the name of Denise Barnes. And she may not understand why I said in her a special shout out for her birthday. But a few months ago, I had the opportunity, my first opportunity to catch crab. Now, this was not a catching crab in the wild experience. I am still in training. You know, you got to moderate yourself. But I was invited by my aunt. She called me and asked me if I know how to pick crab. And of course, I suppose she saw people. I don't know how to pick crab, but I told her, yes, because I know how to find Google. And you could figure out anything on Google. So I tell her, yes, I come in right now. I thought she meant, you know, how to determine which is the best crab to pick out the pen with my bougie self. So I gone down there, bold and brave, to go pick crab. And she look at me, and when she see me, she could sense it's my auntie. In my spirit, she knew that I had no idea what I was talking about or what I come there to do. And after her and her friends laugh at me, right? One of her friends say, I shall teach you. how to pick crab. Now, that friend was not Denise. Denise was the friend who was laughing at me in encouragement and support. That's how behemoths do it. We just laugh at you to encourage you to do better. And she laughed at me, and I pick my first crabs. And I got picked by my first crab. And listen, if you want to know if you are a mature woman or not, when that crab bite me on my finger, I knew one thing was certain. Like somebody could text me today and say they certain the FNM going to win the next round. I know one thing was certain. I was not going to cry out in pain for none of them big women to hear me crying. No, no, no. And I sat there and I hold my tongue, and my little niece is looking at me laughing because she know I was crying and dying on the inside. But I did not falter. A tear did not fall. And so for the support that you gave me in that moment, Denise Barnes, I want to say happy, happy birthday to you, to you. Well, listen, good morning, people. And now that we have had that slight joke, I got, there's a lot in the paper today. And a little laughter, yeah, keep it light. People are going through a lot of seriousness. And they don't tune into the radio to hear my political analysis and my strong talk all the time. Sometimes they want to hear something light. So I just want to say this briefly before we sort of get into the show. I saw this article in the paper yesterday saying, and when I say I saw it in the paper, I got a PDF copy of the article, right? So I still got to go back and delve into it to make sure I understand what's happening. But the headline said something like, a large company is ready to interview, right? They're ready for new employees, and they're looking for 40 vaccinated employees, right? And I said, that's a bold move. Put it straight out at the front. If you're not vaccinated, it don't make sense to apply. I said, okay, that's cool, right? But why haven't we seen any statements from the government or from the Department of Labor or from the Attorney General's office that we could use to make sense of the statements coming from employers, right? I pause and say, well, you know, Prime Minister say it's a twindemic. It's like, that's like two movies at once. It's 6 hours. You could be there for 6 hours. You only plan for three. I get it. But I want to say to the Prime Minister this morning, it is a cowardly act to allow employers to attach vaccine status to employment without a clear and coherent declaration of policy or legislation determined after wide and informed consultation with all stakeholders. It doesn't matter how grave, serious, or urgent the issue is, a leader must always engage the people honestly and with transparency. They must put the hard issues on the table and create an environment where we, the people, can make informed decisions without coercion or fear of deprivation. Please, Bahamas, do not allow fear to cause you to give up your rights or to deprive or allow others to be deprived of any of their rights. This is not a moral statement on whether you should or should not be vaccinated. This is a declaration of what the process should look like. This thing is just like me and my faith. We are all given free will. Let us respect that. Kermit, can we roll into a break, please? Let me catch myself. I laugh too much. I need some water. I got my guest in here. I need to get him some water, too. You've been tuned in to On the Clock. We're on 96.9 FM. I'm going to get this show rolling right after this break. We're talking agriculture. We're talking food. We're talking tips for growing in the summer months. We'll be right back, Bahamas. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
Thank you. Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Signs that you should go to therapy. You've thought about it, you wonder if it could help, you want to go, you wanted to see if this list would apply to you. Mental health is health too.
This Mental Health Awareness Month message brought to you by Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Why? Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy. Just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Morning this morning, and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. It is Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021. Now, On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I've got an ad for you before we get into the show. The census goes digital. During the months of April to July, the Department of Statistics will be conducting a listing exercise to build a database to support the first ever national census data collection via a digital and online process. The listing exercise will include all buildings and dwellings in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands will be listed by enumeration district. This message is brought to you by the Department of Statistics. So we're talking agriculture today. I tell you why. Because it's Cancer Awareness Month and it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And we're going to sort of delve into some of the links, right, between agriculture and a culture of appreciation for agriculture and mental health awareness and cancer awareness. So we're talking agriculture, and this talk starts with another mystery. Yesterday, I had a mystery, got a new book for my birthday, and it was called Ellsworth Johnson and the Mystery of the Disappearing Advocates, Activists, Lawyers, and Labor Unionists. And it was a good read. And I put it down for a moment, right? And I'm going to go pick it back up. I pick up another book. I didn't even know I had this book. And it is great. And this is a blurb on the back of the book, yeah? I think it's an agriculture book. It says, over the years, a number of Hubert Alexanders have popped up all over the place. Sometimes it feels like everywhere you go, you see a Hubert Alexander. All over. But especially, like, I live in St. Anne's, they all over St. Anne's. The House of Assembly, the Cabinet Building. Now, I don't know if somebody is cultivating them. I think they just grow wild. But there are many varieties. There are Minnesses. There are Ingrams, and there are even Chipmans. Now, some say they are invasive, but I know from personal experience it's more evasive than invasive. Now, they ain't the prettiest. They ain't the smartest, and some of them ain't the straightest either. But one out of three ain't. One out of three ain't bad. But they are Bahamians. And if I ever get a chance to grow me or you with Alexander, it ain't going to be no Chipman. And it probably ain't going to be a Minnis or Ingram either. I could be honest with you. I must have to go to Africa to see if they's grow who you with Alexander's over there. But I tell you what, if Loretta did change her name to Loretta Hubert Alexander Butler, I bet you she'd have been the prime minister right now. Because these Hubert Alexanders are special. God put them on the planet for a reason. And today we shall rejoice them with my special guest, Mr. Phil Davis Jr., who is the founder and sort of proprietor at the Eden Farming Club. Good morning, Mr. Phil Davis Jr. How you doing?
Good. Top of the morning.
So, listen, are you a farmer or do you grow food?
I grow food.
Do you call yourself a farmer?
I call myself an Eden farmer. All of us. I call everybody an Eden farmer.
And what does Eden farmer mean?
Just meaning that we're within the principles of the Creator or being with Mother Earth.
Ah, I got you. Now, you are not a part of the Eden with two E's farm group, right? It's a different group altogether. How long have you been growing food and running the club?
On and off, I've been growing food for about five to six years, but I've actually started the club about 4 years ago.
All right. So, getting to this quick question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever grown a Hubert Alexander?
No.
What is the wildest, like, what is the most, that, like, you would think that Bahamians think is the strangest or the wildest thing you've grown here?
Mm-hmm. Actually, when I started off, I approached a company that sold vegetables and fruits, and I asked them why we weren't growing these stuff here.
Yeah.
And they pretty much said it's not cost effective, and they can't do it. So I started growing peach, raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, and they all grew here.
Right. So cost effective is one thing. Mm-hmm. I could understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But most things, okay, so in case you didn't know, there are zones.
Yeah.
Right? And anything that, and the zones run along the latitudes,
correct,
right?
Where the sun, the equator is, yeah.
Right, and parallel to the equator.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that grows, like the Bahamas is zone
11,
anything that grows in zone 11 in any other part of the world will grow in your country if you're in zone 11.
That is correct. You'll have acclimation with any type of plant. It will adjust.
So even if it didn't come from zone 11, maybe if it came from zone 10 or zone 9, it will adjust.
Yep, Florida. Florida is zone, if I remember correctly, Florida is zone 9A through 10B. So we grow pretty much what they have there as well. Even the blueberries and strawberries, they said they couldn't grow here. It's growing here. So it just adapts with the sun, acclimation.
Okay, so like I knew that a little bit, but I used to tell people that it's Chicchani magic, right? Like just sort of like you have a farm club. I used to tell them you could hire me, right? And I'll make sure that your peach tree produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell them it's magic. But you mind sharing some of the techniques that you would use to make trees that usually grow in a colder climate grow in a warmer climate?
Okay, well, first and foremost, when you were talking about the magic, you are absolutely correct. It's the energy with inside you that you transfer onto other living organisms. So if you go to that tree and you talk to that tree and you're telling that tree to do well, baby, come on, give me something nice. And
I can bring you a rattler. I can bring you a tree park. Yeah, yeah.
Happening, and it'll start to produce for you. But like we were saying about the peach tree, I put the peach tree on my northern side of the house, because it doesn't receive that much sunlight, so it's going to be a lot cooler. So that's automatically 15 to 20 degrees cooler, and you're getting that atmosphere that plant wants. Second thing that you're going to have to look into is the nutrients and stuff that goes into the ground for that plant, because in our limestone calcium ground, you're going to have to make sure you put in the supplements for these things to thrive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let me just pause right here. I got my first question off, guys. Mr. Phil Davis Jr. is open to answering questions about growing, backyard gardening, we're dispelling myths, common myths about fruit and plants today. So feel free to call in or text in with any of your questions. Remember, we're streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. You could tune in on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. You could download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to the audio feed or video feed right there on the app. You can text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. Or call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. I got a couple of texts here. This is not show-related. Give me one second. Thank you for the belated birthday greetings. Is Mrs. Nichols the same lady who owns Sweetums on Mackey Street?
Yep.
She is. She is. I did not know she owned Sweetums.
Man, good family friend.
Great family friend.
She was friends with my mother, so I knew the whole family.
Yeah.
So condolences goes out from the Davis family as well.
Man. Another text here. Dear Texter, I can't read that out loud. But thank you very much for the compliment. Yes, and they are very light-colored eyes. And so if you see me with shades on, please don't feel that I'm being disrespectful, because we got this old-school culture where shades, only thugs and drug dealers wear shades. But shades are very necessary for people with sensitive eyes to protect them from the sun. And everybody should be wearing shades. Now, you shouldn't wear shades all day. You should expose your eyes to sunlight,
right?
But wearing shades is not a bad thing. And we're going to get into that, some of the benefits of being out in the garden, in the backyard as well. So let's get back to the Eden Farming Club, right? How do I join the club and what do I do when I'm there? Like, is this the sort of club where I'm a member and I grow mangoes and another members grow scarlet plum and we could trade when they're in season?
That's actually a database that we have set up. So I do have people that'll give me something like potato slips or something, and they'll tell me give them away. And I've got the database with a couple hundred people, so I just post it straight up. But the Eden Farming Club right now, we're exclusively on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really going for numbers. I'm going for content, quality. So instead of teaching 20 people at one time how to farm, I'd rather come in and deal with you one-on-one in your yard. So the whole Eden Farming Club, once you get in contact with me or somebody else who's a part of the club, I come across there, I do an assessment of your yard, I help you out. So I'm not actually doing the farming for you. I'm helping you get to a stage where you can sustain yourself.
Absolutely. Now, what about like senior citizens, older women and men who... they don't want you to do the farming for them, but they need a little more attention than a younger farmer, a backyard grower. What you do for them?
My first set of customers were actually elderly ladies who live by themselves. So setting up for them is actually hands-on. So I would leave them at a state where all they would have to do is water.
Yeah.
Water and maintain. Give me up a call if you have any problems with bugs and stuff. You can send me a video if they were... savvy with the WhatsApp and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And I could give them a tutorial right there on the spot, or the old school touch of what they really, really like. I come to you first thing in the morning, help you out in your garden and stuff like that. And it gives you a better stance of confidence in what you're doing. And that's the whole thing about Eden Farming Club.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people like to grow just to grow. The experience of being in nature, of communing with other types of living things and growing things. But at the same time, they're not into wasting money, right? They don't just grow it and let it go to rot. They want to make sure the plants are doing their best, right, and have the best chance. So they're willing to pay some money sort of for that support. But tips, can I just come onto the site and say, hey, I'm having an issue with a... like, I met a listener who said to me, I got guava trees. And they produce prolific. In fact, she said they produce prolifically like cherries. Almost like every time it's a good rain, they start pushing out blossoms. But over the last few months, the leaves have become black and sort of sooty or maybe a fungus. And she wanted to know what is most likely the problem going on there.
Right. Well, with the funguses and stuff, it could be anything from a system from within your roots anaerobically or anything like that, or a bug just coming there and laying something on it, or even the dirt from the roads coming by. hitting onto it with the dew and it sticks, and that oxygen and the leaves can't breathe properly. So if you're looking at fungus or anything like that, hydrogen peroxide is one of the best things that you can use in your garden.
Now, how am I going to apply that? Do I need a spray bottle? Do I need to sit and wipe the leaves? Because I don't like bathing myself. You think I...
Well, it's you can do it. You can apply it two different ways. First of all, you have to dilute it down. So normally when you're doing topical onto a plant, it has to be about 1 to 32 parts. So that's a capful of hydrogen peroxide inside a gallon of water. Once you mix that up, you can spray that onto the leaves. That'll remove the fungus and stuff, and you're good to go. The other side of it, you can use the hydrogen peroxide mixed in with a little bit of dishwashing detergent.
Uh-huh.
With a nice little rag, damp, you're going around wiping the trees. Obviously, you don't wipe down a whole 30-foot tree.
Right.
But it'll be a much smaller one containing
you. That's what the raccoons are for. They're raccoons. I now have a job for you. You're going to eat all them dilly. You'll wipe down the tree. So, white fly. Mm-hmm. I have recently discovered white fly, right? And I realize a lot of people are having issues with white fly. Here's the interesting thing I found out. White fly is not concerned. They don't pay attention to things that don't produce food. They ain't bothering no flowers.
No.
They like food.
Uh-huh.
What are the white flies doing, and how do we... Are they like lionfish? Can you get... Because you can't get rid of lionfish. You could only minimize them. Can you manage white fly?
Yes. Yes, you definitely can. They are a pest, and you can be a pest to them as well. Normally what happens with a plant, when a plant is malnutrient or anything like that, it's going to release these gases. The gases start telling these bugs, hey, it's dinner time. Come this way. Natural selection. That's God's workers bringing them down, saying, hey, this plant ain't too healthy or these leaves aren't healthy. Let's remove these. So they come to start to deal with that. That's exactly what's happening.
So white fly could be helping me out if I'm paying attention.
Correct.
So when I see white fly attaching itself to something, that is telling me that something needs attention.
Exactly.
From me.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
See, I like that idea better. Not we ain't fighting against each other. I need to read you better.
Exactly. So now that you know that that's being a pest to the plant that you like, now we just get fight the white flies and the bugs at their own game. So if you don't want to use any chemicals and stuff and you're all organic, a nice little pressure sprayer, just simple water. Every time you agitate them with the water and stuff, they're not going to stay there. They're going to move. So if you keep on doing that to them, they can be like, you know what? This person, they ain't want me on their mango tree, or they ain't want me on this tree. I can move to somewhere else. And that's exactly what they do.
I hope so. Because I have a very difficult time growing in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
A part of it is the wind. There's a small tornado laboratory in my backyard, right? And it disrupts everything, but also the white fly.
Mm-hmm.
And where the shade is under the dilly tree.
Mm-hmm.
But the dilly tree is dropping the white fly on all the things. But then what we realize in a pepper experiment is, out of maybe 258 pepper plants, only 8 survived. And I said to my friend, well, maybe that's fine. Maybe what we're supposed to do is capture the ones that survive the white fly, right?
Uh-huh.
And then those are the ones you propagate. Listen, I got two texts, a couple of texts, and then I got a call right back, man. You was only flashing for 15 seconds. Call right back. This is for you, Aaron. Please ask your guest if he would come to the family island.
Yeah, whichever one, let me know.
Look here, you sent a text dead quick to say which one so he could begin the work. But you are able to move back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people who live on the family islands to think about agricultural, like backyard or small side agricultural products, because people in Nassau, we stuck on this food store culture and we need your help. But I'm going to go to this call. Kermit, can we check out that call? And then we're going to get into the culture of food. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. Yeah, and good morning to your guests and to your listeners all over the world.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you call yourself science. You have a different name than farmers, or we consider ourselves as farmers?
Agriculturists or something like
that? Okay, yeah. That's you, right?
I guess if you want to say that, yes.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Agriculturist, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I want to ask Miss Green first. She always talking about these fruits and stuff, and she says she go by the place where she is. I forget what she call it. Where it's sell the fruits and stuff.
Farmer's market.
Yeah, the market.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you get for sale now? And do you have a number where people could call you? That when you do have stuff, that we could patronize you. Because I know you're always encouraging us to come down there and even learn the new dance with the song. And I love that song, which is too.
Boy, Jerusalem, that was a thing, eh?
Yeah, I love that song, which is Jam in the Morning. But listen, you ain't interested in doing no delivery? Do your company do delivery and you give out a number so we can patronize the business also? Then what I wanted to find out from the farmer, if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
The farming business, like I'll be growing these things in the back of our yard, tomato and different things and stuff like that. And I like what you point out. I wonder if the fat white fly, which you all talk about, is the same thing what we call bumble fly.
No.
Huh?
No, bumble fly and white fly are different things.
Oh, the white fly, big A.
The white fly is actually white.
Yeah.
Okay, white. You said that's telling us something we need to pay attention to.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Before it go bad or something.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good thing. We need to keep that in mind. But I don't want to ask you about, like, I hear the government was saying, that the Attorney General was saying on the weekend they was doing some more studying on legalizing or decriminalizing the use of marijuana, and I know that's something we have to grow. I don't know, since you could grow them other rest of things, would you be able, like, as a Bahamian citizen here, because I believe this industry, the marijuana business, is a gold mine. It's something we'd be missing out. And you don't have to be a person who smoke or enjoy marijuana to be go into that business, just like with gambling. And I don't want to find out from you as a farmer, is these things going to be possible, just like y'all growing all the other rest of things, to be able to grow the marijuana right from the back of the yard, as long as the government maybe legalize it? Or, Ms. Green, is it possible maybe you could bring people, I think you did it before, maybe you could bring them on again,
yeah,
to let us know how easy it is to grow marijuana in the back of the yard, because it's something what you don't just smoke, but you could cook and you could use it for many different things,
exactly,
as medicine. So maybe someone else, you could bring someone back on again and they could tell us how easy it is to grow marijuana. Although right now, as we speak, it's illegal, but soon to come, I guess it'll be legal. Keep up the good work, man. I can finish listening. Thanks for the information on the white fly.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Well, to answer that, it's illegal to do it here. So obviously...
Well, let's speak clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It is illegal to cultivate,
correct,
Indian hemp without authorization,
correct,
from the ministers responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Anecdotal evidence suggests that people have been authorized in the past and possibly right now to grow hemp for export for industrial purposes. What we do know is that it can grow here,
mm-hmm,
right?
Well, I can definitely tell you this. I've been a part of a project where I built the soil for some. So,
right.
Yeah.
But, and now, hear that caller and audience, where he built the soil for some. We're talking about an industry. And so I am excited to hear people who express and understand the need to become trained in this industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. I am concerned that we may be creating an industry that marginalizes people that could possibly participate in said industry. So we know it can grow here. We know it can grow easily, but hear what the man say. He was a part of a team that built the soil for a project. And anybody entering the industry, it ain't gonna be just about putting some seeds in the ground and then pouring Guinness on it and libations, right, and then watering it every day. It's going to be a technical,
uh-huh,
space, and you're going to be required to certify yourself, right? So here's what I would say: if you are interested in entering the industry once it has been constructed through legislation, and you understand that it's likely that there will not be a public education and awareness program or incentives for ordinary people to join the industry space, go online and do as many online courses with no homework. You don't want a course to tell you,
mm-hmm,
this is the homework you have to do for the weekend, produce a plant. No, that's not the course for you in the Bahamas.
No.
Right? go online and certify yourself to go do a thing. Another text, FNM, morning, Miss Green, too straight. Well, I've had two straight years of increased production on my mango tree since Hurricane Matthew, and so I celebrate with you, my FNM friend. Another text, man, your guest is right on point. Had a grape tree, had no grapes for 10 years. I spoke to that tree early this year, and there goes grapes. You really do.
It's the energy.
In fact, George Washington Carver, when asked, how you get all of these brilliant ideas? He said, I wake up 4 o'clock every morning, and by 4:30, I'm in my greenhouse talking to my plants. Uh-huh. Now, what he expressed and what I infer from that is that while he's in his greenhouse, he is in a meditative state, recognizing the divinity and inherent sentient nature of all living things. And in that space, God uses his creations to inspire me with ideas. That's what I get.
That is absolutely correct. And when you spoke at the beginning of the show about religion and not putting your beliefs onto anybody, same thing with me. I believe in the Creator. I believe in Earth. Some forms of Jesus Christ. But like you say, if we go to the Bible, Mark 4 explains the secret of the kingdom of heaven, seek ye first. And it's actually talking about the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So when Carver was talking about this sanctuary where he's just at peace, that's where you're at peace. You're with the Creator right there.
Listen, absolutely. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. A friend of mine just bring me 2 big sows up. I need some information from the gentleman. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, morning. How you doing?
Yeah, listen, you know, agriculture is my thing, right? So, mm-hmm. Listen, two questions. Do we have a seed bank, like for, you know, being that the sows up is very expensive in the States and it's on demand in order to induce, like, some real, like, consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have a seed bank for something? Sows up seems to be rare, and it's a very difficult plant to grow. And also, I've seen some innovation about, I heard you talk about hydrogen peroxide, but I've seen some farmers use it innovatively to put in the soil and say it enhances the oxygen uptake. And I just hang up and listen. But I need to know if we really have these seed banks on our native traditional Bahamian plants that are very rare and very hard to grow. I'll just hang up and listen.
Oh, excellent, excellent. In terms of the seed bank, there is a non-formal club or a society of farmers. And what we do, if we eat a vegetable or a fruit and it is excellent, we're going to save the seeds. So you're talking about soursops and stuff. Me personally, I have a couple hundred soursop seeds at home from my soursop tree.
Here's what I learned about soursop and sugar apple, though, is that the seed may lose its viability for germination relatively quickly.
Quickly, yeah. There's different ways that you can store them as well.
Okay, great.
Put them inside a Tupperware bin and put them in the fridge. Keep a little bit of moisture and stuff, because when they get completely dried out, yes, they are finished. But soursop is something that actually grows real, real quick. I have no problem dealing with that. And you can propagate as well. So if you want to you don't have the seeds, you can actually grow it from the tree, and you're going to get the exact same fruit from the next tree. All right. What was the second question that he was talking about?
He was talking about
the aeration.
Yeah, yeah.
With the hydrogen peroxide. That is absolutely correct. So what it is with the hydrogen peroxide, it has an extra oxygen molecule within it. So when it gets into the soil, those air bubbles are going to create the spaces for the roots to move around, and it's also going to kill most of the bad bacteria that are inside the ground. Now, the solution that you do of the hydrogen peroxide to go into the soil versus doing a topical on the leaves is going to be different. You can put in more hydrogen peroxide to go into the ground if you want more of that oxygen to come up, especially in your raised beds and stuff like that. Into the open fields, yes, you probably use a little bit more, dilute it less with the water, but make sure you're good. Your leaves will turn out green, green, green within the next 3 days or so. But you need to monitor to make sure that that's being filtered out of the ground, because you don't want an anaerobic situation where the water is just sitting around your roots. You're going to get root rot and just defeat the whole purpose. But yes, the hydrogen peroxide will aerate the ground for you naturally.
Awesome. I see we got a caller on the line, Kermit. We're going to get to you right now, caller.
Yes.
You are on the clock. Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you get to me?
Turn your radio down for me.
All right. Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
And your guest. I'm calling concerning these onions compared to the onions of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They're watered down. When you cut them, you don't cry. Now, I just put mayonnaise and onion on my tongue. I can eat onions raw now. I don't really even taste onion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fumes that they used to come and that made you cry.
Yeah, gone.
It's gone.
That's because y'all like cultivate things too much.
Exactly.
Y'all don't want the things grow in the wild.
Thank you.
You got to let them, what y'all say with the luxury, you got to throw them into the wilderness, and the ones who survive is the good ones, and the other ones, let them stay in the bush.
I just don't know that, like, these onions of yesterday, you cut them, your eyes is water when you cut it. And you don't cut the put your hands far from the knife to cut it. Anyhow, let's get back at sauce of leaf.
Yeah.
Or sauce of the whole, I like it is good for cancer.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So if you boil a cup of house in chocolate of leaf, it might somehow cut down cancer or something.
Listen, none of us in this studio are doctors, but what we do know is that people have been using soursop as a supplement to mm-hmm. their cancer treatments, right? Not to replace. They
Correct.
Don't use it to replace
Correct.
The treatment given to them, prescribed by their doctor. They use it as a supplement too.
And also, I know
avocado is rich in vitamin K, which is good for blood.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you have blood issues, don't eat a lot of avocados. It makes your blood thick, right?
Now that might be true, but when you're dealing with regenerating the blood and stuff like that, better things to use are like the grape leaves. Anything like the grape leaves, they'll regenerate your blood. Even the prickly pear. Prickly pear comes from the cactus fruit.
All right, one more call. I get another.
And also, avocado is good for men's prostate.
That is correct. High blood pressure too.
Thank you, caller. See, we got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Green.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
All right. You still can bring them stuff to McDonald's for me, eh?
Oh, yes, sir. I have not forgot. The time is coming soon.
Yeah, okay.
Couple so more weeks on them red plumps.
Your guest this morning, Philip Davis Jr.
Yes, sir.
Is he related to Philip Davis Sr.?
Yes, that's my father.
That means that he goes by another name. Of Hiram Abiff.
Yes, sir.
That's you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Yes, sir.
All right, Papa.
Yes, I got your plums on lock, sir.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You are welcome. Let me get to a couple of these texts, and then I got a couple more questions for you. First text, how often to water sweet peppers in black pots?
In black pots? All right, now, what I tell people within the Eden Farming Club, I do the finger test. So what you're going to do is you're going to take your fingers, get it straight, put it straight into the soil. You're going to go to your second knuckle. If you cannot feel moisture at the bottom of your fingertip, that means that you don't have enough water inside your pot. Now, there's a second way that you're looking at that too, because you can either water from the top, which is actually incorrect, because that makes that creates more density on your soil and the roots won't be able to move as much. And you won't be able to see exactly how much water is at the bottom of your root system. Because your root system is set up in a way whereas the bottom part of your roots are going to be inside the real moisture. And there's going to be a middle layer coming towards the top that you want to have with no moisture. So within about a 2 to 3 day span when you're watering things like bell peppers or peppers, I normally give them a really, really good soak in 1 day and miss out 2 days. But I also water from the bottom as well. So once you have a bottom tray and the water sits into that, the water seeps into the soil and pulls up to the roots.
Man, look here. This time I thought, you know, my mother's just being fussy. The pot needs a tray, like the cup needs a saucer, but it really has a function to water from the bottom.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I got a bunch of texts. I'm getting to your text. Caller, you got 60 seconds. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Speak up for me.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, my question is, how would one test the pH of the soil and what means do you use to test it? And also, I mean, like, what do you use to balance it with? And Aaron?
Yes.
Did you feel 29 or you didn't feel it?
Boy, look here. Look here. Tell Aunt Juanita I got one mango for her. I ate the first mango off my tree, and I feel like I'm 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I talk about the 29 song I sent you.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that.
You like the one I...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you was asking me if I feel young again.
Yeah, but you could feel 29 listening to 29, too. You know, that's set you back in time.
You're absolutely right. So all pH right. And how to restore it.
All right, yeah. pH on testing the soil. There's a natural way. First of all, you have to use deionized water, all right? So there's absolutely no salt inside of that. You're going to take a sample of the soil, the same amount. You're going to put it into two cups. Put the same amount of the distilled water inside of those. One of them you're going to test with baking soda. The other one you're going to test with lime. They're going to give you a reaction. It's going to be fizzing. With the baking soda, if I remember correctly, if I haven't done this in a long time, the baking soda will let you know if the soil is acidic, and the lime will let you know if it's alkaline because of the reactions with it. Now, what you do, once you pour it in, you will see the bubbles coming up. So that'll let you know if it's really, really bubbly, it's going to be towards one extreme, and less bubbly, it'll be towards the middle. The type of pH that we're looking for to grow in is 6.5 or 6.5 to 7.5. And that's our ideal sweet zone. If you would know about the pHs, pHs would range from 0 to 14. So that's in your range. But that's a natural way to test your soil. You can also go online and buy soil testers, moisture testers.
And check the local stores, too.
Exactly.
Check the local stores, too. Yeah.
They didn't have them much over here. Now, you could go to a pool, one of the pool cleaning places, and they have the pH kit
yeah.
that you can test from that as well.
All right. Thank you. I love those sort of home tests.
Mm-hmm.
Another text here, ask your guest if he tests soil. He does.
Yeah.
Because their crop this year was poor. Can I use seaweed to replenish the soil? My passion fruit bears flowers. Only how can I get it to produce fruit? I get the passion fruit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, what happened with us is that we needed to put down more passion fruit vines, right? And then the more passion fruit vines we realized there were, my neighbor's yard, the other yard, then more fruit started popping up.
Well, with the passion fruit, you would need more helpers. So
the
bees and wasps
and flies.
Pollinators. If not, you got to walk around and pollinate all them by yourself.
Rub them yourself,
you know?
Well, I think what helped us is our passion fruit runs into the dilly tree. So when the wind moves, right?
Uh-huh.
But bees are pollinators, but wasps and flies are accidental pollinators.
Correct.
Like, they ain't on your run. They didn't come to see you.
No.
But they may do that by accident while they're here.
They taking care of your business, though.
Yeah. Another text. I knew about the effects of drainage and overwatering on root systems. Another text. What did he say grape leaves are good for?
Regenerating the blood. Also with pregnant women, it will reduce morning sickness completely.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not have that urge that you want to throw up or anything like that, feeling nausea or anything like that. The grape leaves will help out with that 100%.
Now, is that tea?
Tea. Tea. That's tea.
All right. All mm-hmm. right. So I got a text coming in on a different device. While I try to pull this up, let me ask you this question. It's getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get very hot. People are going to start to see their plants wilt and wither and not produce the type of fruit they want to produce. But I get really upset when I see people, oh, it's so hot, I'm going to take down this garden. What should people do with their gardens through the summer months? Because for me, what I know is there are a lot of things that are still edible,
uh-huh.
even though they're not producing fruit.
Uh-huh. All right. Summer months. I'll give you a story with me. When I first started my plot for Eden Farming, I started off in May, June, leading up into the summers. I was extremely gung-ho. I went in planting all of these leafy green vegetables, and I lost everything. Everything from mm-hmm. the heat. So that taught me right there that you need to have companion plants. So that means that you're going to grow something that doesn't take as much maintenance, like a papaya tree or something like
right.
that. They grow tall and slender, and I'll provide you with a little bit more shade where you can grow right in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a companion plant growing with it. Another thing you need to look into when you're growing in the summer months, like I wouldn't grow lettuce and stuff like that in the summer month. Now, I switched that over with the cruciferous family or Chinese cabbages and stuff like that.
A little hardier.
Exactly. Yeah. Because these plants actually hold in moisture. So you can miss out a day or two of not watering them in the heat. And our summer heats are, what, 90-something, 102? Yeah. And these plants thrive in that.
So I grow tree spinach, also known as miracle spinach, also known as chia. Mm-hmm. And it is a hot weather variety spinach. So its production reduces drastically when it's cold. I'm near the salt air. That impacts it. Mm-hmm. But in the summer, it flourishes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have that as a leafy green in the summer months when other production is down. We also used to work with this farmer who grew collard greens. And he was getting ready to pull up his collard greens at the beginning of one summer. And we told him, no, boss. Right. You're going to sell these collard greens when you have no more kale and lettuce to sell. And he continued to do that. But what I say to people is, don't just eat collard greens in the traditional American South way where you boil them down for hours. That's yummy.
Yeah.
But pick baby collard green leaves. Pick smaller leaves and saute them.
Uh-huh.
A gentle, light saute with a little salt and garlic, and you are good to go.
Or use them as wraps.
There you go.
I use mine as wraps instead of bread.
That's right. You made that wrap. And
you better believe it.
And you let the hot filling, he didn't even cook it. He let the hot filling in the wrap wilt the collard to the perfect temp. Look here.
Hold on. Just right back to that summer thing and not taking down your farm. The weeds of your farm will actually protect the ground. So if you're not going to grow anything, let the weeds grow up. And then instead of cutting them, pull them out of the ground because the space of that root that you just pulled out was the aeration that you need for the next set of plants to come through.
Look at that. Look at that. Well, we are all out of time, Mr. Phil Davis Jr., but you don't know it yet, but you are my next agricultural expert. And I got to have you back on soon because we're going to continue to break down some common myths about growing in the Bahamas. And I beg you to bring something. And look what this gentleman brought. He brought us a loofah. A loofah. He grew this himself. You see where the camera is, and there's the other camera. Now, y'all know I don't like to bathe. But in honor of this, I shall have to bathe today. And he also brought us some wonderful arugula that he's growing as well. This is Phil Davis Jr. from the Eden Farming Club. You can check them out on Facebook. Also, you can link me and I can link you with him as soon as I collect my mulberries from him. Just as we go in, give us a list of the things you grow in as we go out of the show.
Oh boy, you name it. Arugula, wong buck, bok choy, pak choy, bib lettuce, red lettuce, butter crunch lettuce, cherry tomatoes, black creme tomatoes, Hungarian, golden jubilee, strawberries, blueberries, peach, grapes, plantains, bananas. I grow everything.
Okay, and the last text says, are you talking sea grape leaves or traditional
grape?
Vine grape.
Vine grape, mulberry grape, any of those type of grapes, the leaf. Because the sea grape leaf is a little too waxy.
Right, but they have a medicinal purpose, but you boil them for 3 to 4 hours.
That is correct.
And right, mulberry leaf is also used for conditioning women's wombs. Anyway, we're all out of time, which means I gotta have Phil Davis Jr. back on my show. Thank you for staying tuned into 96.9 FM this morning. And stay tuned because Levon Miller and Unleashed is next. Have a great day, Bahamas.